You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator, Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker, I am Pastor Paul Esposito, and I am the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Praise God. I'm so grateful you've taken 30 minutes of your day here today on this Tuesday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to hear now the sermon I just preached on Sunday, and many of you who listen in on the radio came and visited this week. What a pleasure it is for me to meet you guys who listen in on the radio. And if you are listening in on the radio, and if you are looking for a new church for whatever reasons that you might hold dear or are personal to you, I invite you to come out to Island. The music is kind of mellow. We do a lot of hymns, sort of country style. Our only instruments, acoustic guitar, and we welcome you. We welcome you to come by, visit, and worship God here at Island in one of our services. Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesday at evening at 6, that'll be tomorrow night. We are in the book of Acts. We have, what an important study we have coming up tomorrow night at 6. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls come to Christ. They were cut to the heart and asked Peter, all right, I'm convicted. Now what do I do? Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. That's what we're looking at. We are having a detailed study here for most of the entire hour looking at baptism. Answering the question, does baptism save you? Like it appears to be from what Peter said. And that appears to contradict other places in the Bible. So what gives? That's where we're going to be at tomorrow night. If you can't join us, if we're too far away, or for whatever reasons, I encourage you to watch on the Facebook page. That'll be live at 6 p.m. Island Community Church Facebook page. Why don't you join us if you can't make it? We'd love to see you. Here now, back to our sermon from Sunday, and that is the humbled and exalted Christ. Probably the greatest teaching in all the Bible on the person of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So that's where we're at here today. As a matter of fact, let me let this opening play Tuesday and Wednesday. If you are tuned in on Wednesday, why don't you come by the church here tonight, Wednesday at 6? If you listen in on Tuesday, we'll wrap up this sermon tomorrow. But we'd love to see you Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Easter morning, Resurrection morning. My sermon is entitled, I Am the Resurrection, taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. So you're invited to any one of our services. Let's get into the Word of God now. We are in Philippians, wrapping up chapter 1, and then Philippians chapter 2. Have a blessed day, everyone. God bless.
Okay, we're in Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Perhaps my favorite chapter in all the Bible. We have a supernatural text here to look at, and that is what transpired behind the scenes that brought the Messiah here. That's what we're looking at here. Now, prior to that, let's look at these last two verses in chapter 1. And prior to that, let's pray before we get started.
Lord God Almighty, we praise you here in the house. Thank God for Sunday, and thank you again for gathering us together here in your house. Lord, I personally thank you for all the hungry souls that you've sent here today and each and every week. Thank you for this awesome work that you're doing here at Island Community Church. Lord, we sit under your word this morning. We listen for your voice. Open ears, thank God you've opened them. Hungry hearts, thank you, you've made them hungry. You've done all the work. We listen for you now. Speak to us. Help us to do what it says in your word. Give us the power to change. First, show us and convict us where we fall short. Then give us the power to change and make it right. Bless this church. Continue to do this awesome work that you're doing here at Island. We listen for you here now, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Okay, everyone there, we're in Philippians chapter 1, the last couple of verses, starting in verse 29. I can't leave this verse out. It's too important. It says, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. All right. He says, to you has been granted. The Greek word charis, like charismatic or charisma. Charis means gift. So to you, it has been gifted two things. Number one, to believe in him. You heard it right. The ability to believe in Jesus Christ has been given to you. It's called faith. Your faith is a gift. That's why not everyone has it. It's a gift. Ephesians 2 and 8 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast about it. You ain't buying your way into this. You can't give money to someone and come up with faith. It's got to be given to you from above. That's your only hope. Faith is a gift. Don't think it comes from yourself. Don't think that you're tired of running and you decide you're going to trust in the man upstairs. Faith is a gift from God. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. No one owes it to you. It's a gracious gift. Everyone follow me? This is why someone can hear every plea under the sun and still not see the light. Look what happened when Jesus raised up Lazarus from the grave. After he did that, in John 11:45, it says, then many of the Jews who had seen the things that Jesus did, that is raising someone in the grave for 4 days, when they saw the things that Jesus did, believed in him. Verse 46, but some of those went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. You see, there's two types of people in this world. Those that hear the word of God and believe. And then there's everyone else. Look around. Put MSNBC on. No, don't try that at home. We also hear of this conversation that took place in the afterlife from down under, and I don't mean Australia. A dead man, isn't that funny? Also named Lazarus, but a whole different Lazarus. A dead man once asked Abraham to send a fellow dead man back to his family's house. Kind of sounds like Jacob Marley to me. Oh, rattling his chains. Abraham, the guy asks Abraham to send a fellow dead man back to his family's house so that they would see a ghost and be shocked into believing. Certainly, if you saw a ghost telling you to believe in Jesus Christ, you'd listen, right? So he says this to Abraham. He said, I beg you, Father Abraham, that you would send him, that's Lazarus, send him to my father's house, because I've got five brothers, so that he can testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said that they've got Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, then they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one should rise from the dead. You see, if they don't hear them, that is the writers and the authors of this book, if they don't hear them, they won't believe. And also, you cannot hear unless God himself allows you to hear his language. I guess we could say kind of like a dog whistle. You can't hear it on your own. You got to be of a certain family to hear something like that. I guess I can't stress enough how eternally grateful you ought to be, body of Christ, for the gift of faith that's been given to you. If you keep coming back here week in and week out and you shout hallelujah and you believe, be grateful to God. That's good. There's 7.3 billion people in this world. The 0.3 are the believers. The 7 billion are the unbelievers. Be grateful to God. You're sitting here today with faith because you didn't develop that on your own. God loves you and he gave it to you. Now, point number two. I learned the hard way when my prior wife died of cancer some 7 years ago. I wasn't happy about it. I didn't think she was treated in what I called at the time dignified. And that day, I got a schooling from God that I'll never forget. One that I hope that you never get. I told God that what I had witnessed was unfair. And he said to me this very verse we're looking at. He said to me, to you it's been granted, Paul, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. And that's point number two. Suffer. It's been granted to you to believe, and it's been granted to you to suffer. And that day, December 5th, 2015, I learned the hard way that suffering is not only a part of the Christian faith, but it's been granted, it's been gifted to you. And that's quite honestly a gift I'd prefer to decline. I don't want that gift. Now, my late wife was not the first time someone suffered unfairly or who died in an undignified manner. No, the winner of that award is him. Starts there. Starts there. Son of the living God. The Bible says this. For he, that's God the Father, made him, that's God the Son. Remember, we looked at it before, like forming a snowball. God made him to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, talk about suffering unfairly. When you and I suffer, we get to take part a little bit in his suffering. Not much to say, really. It's hard to count it all joy, but how many of us have learned that has anyone here ever suffered before?
I just had a lacerated retina and an ulcer on my cornea doing yard work, praising God, and I had a reflux in my eye, and glory to God.
Praise God. All right, let's move on to chapter 2. The heading of my Bible, Unity Through Humility. Now, Bob Bledsoe came into my office the other day and suggested that I make a sign with the following verse on it and hang it in the food pantry. Better yet, let's make the sign with these verses on it and hang it in the whole church, not just the food pantry. Lest we forget chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, if there's any consolation, the word means encouragement, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affections and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. What a great plea for unity this is, both for the Philippians and for us as well. He's saying, in gratitude of all these things that have happened to us, and that belong to us, and in gratitude of all that Jesus has done for us, love on each other. Forget the petty differences that you have against others. Fulfill my joy and love on each other. Notice all the ones here, like-minded. Then he says, having the same love. Then he says, one accord. The word simsuko, you know, like symphony, means one sound, right? Symphony orchestra. Here you've got simsukos, or we could say simpsycho. One soul. One soul. Be joined together in soul or sentiment or unanimous. And then he says one mind. That is to have the same mindset. Involves the will. As compared to the opposite of these godly traits and Christian instruction, verse 3. Now, this is the verse that Bob mentioned to me, and I love it. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others as better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now there's the pattern for how to maintain a godly, successful church. Strife, the first word. It means to work for hire. It means self-interest, like me, myself, and I. Also, this Greek word for strife is the word for mercenary. A mercenary. And vainglory, vain means worthless, glory means praise. Worthless, worthless praise. That is any praise that goes to you instead of to him. Paul's saying, instead of being worried about your stuff and seeking your own praise, you ought to be concerned about your brother's stuff or things, and God's praise, right? Like their food or clothing or well-being. Now, it was fresh in their mind, no doubt, that all the believers in the Jerusalem had sold everything they had just not that long ago and gave it all away. Once you do that, it's nice to have someone else concerned about your stuff or lack thereof. Have you ever gone into an extended period of time without stuff? Who knew the word stuff was in the Bible? Now, praise God, this church is pretty good at this. That's why we have a benevolence fund here, earmarked to help look after the stuff or lack thereof of others. Now, building on that and being like-minded, Paul's going to use Jesus as the greatest example ever of humbling yourself and caring about other people more than yourself. Verse 5. And without a doubt, the greatest teaching about Jesus ever in the Bible. Starting in verse 5. Under the heading, the humbled and exalted Christ. Of course, in that order, right? Like you and me. He who humbles himself will be exalted. That's the order. Got to humble yourself first, starting with the master. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, there's the imperative command. Let this mind. Or have the same mind that Jesus had. Here, listen again to what he says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So maybe you say, that's impossible. I'm not Jesus. How could I have his mind? Well, I beg to differ. Listen to what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 2:16. It says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, he says. Not only is it impossible, but you have got it. And why not? He lives on the inside of you. You've got the mind of Christ, Paul says. According to the Word of God, the man who's been to the third heaven and back has informed us that you possess the mind of Christ. Talk about being of sound mind and body. Well, sound mind at least. So, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, verse 6, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, or did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. All right, here's our Greek lesson for the day. The word translated being. It's what we call a present active participle. Present meaning it's a now word, not a word that it's past or past tense. It's a now word for today. And it's active, meaning not passive. He's performing the word, not receiving the action. And it's a participle. A participle in English is a word ending in ing, like eating, sleeping, drinking, walking. In my Bible, I've translated this as existing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing. Notice it doesn't say existed, or he will exist someday in the future. He's existing in the form of God. Key text. Jesus Christ has always existed as God. Let me reword that even better yet. Jesus Christ is always existing as God. Even before he took a body, he is, not was, is God. John wrote, in the beginning was the Word. Now remember, the Word was a name for Jesus that John gave him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. So Jesus, the Son of God, again, is always existing as God. There's never been a minute when he hasn't been God. He's always been God. He is existing as much as eating or drinking or walking or exercising. Jesus is existing as God. Chew on that, Jehovah's Witness. I'm sure they just took that one out of the Bible too, like they do the other ones they don't agree with. Next up, we read that the Son of God is equal to God. It says he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Equal is the Greek word isos, where the word equilateral triangle is based on this word. Robbery is the same Greek word where we get rapture from, to steal away or to snatch away. Meaning, Jesus stole no glory whatsoever from the person of God by his existing as God. This does not make God any less or change who he is or steal his glory in any way, he is saying. So the Lord Jesus is equal with God because he is God. He's God the Son. Like three sides on an equilateral triangle, or water, steam, and ice three forms of the same nature. I read yesterday that St. Patrick used the shamrock in order to teach the Trinity.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Be with us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Yeah.